If you haven't wished the person behind you or next to you Happy New Year, go ahead. Make their day. All right. How many of you had a great Christmas and an even better New Year, and you feel like you, like me, you ate too much? Yeah, it's like, Lord Jesus, I know some of you have started fasting, which is great. So, yeah. So just a quick reminder, a few things. There are some of us that fast on Thursdays, specifically for the church. If you're feeling that to join us, come and speak to myself or one of the elders. There's a whole lot of us that are doing that, and we've already really seen God work just through that, you know. I don't understand it, but Jesus said when the disciples came to him and there was a man, a demon-possessed, Jesus says this type does not come out except through prayer and fasting. There's a whole teaching around that. But there's something about fasting, and so I know some of you have started the year on a fast, which is great. I'm certainly feeling the stirrings, but I don't want to just do it because someone else is doing it, you know? Do it because you really feel God speaking to you about that. But Thursdays, for those of you who want to fast with us, and then just a very short thank you to all of you who have kept on coming, you've been in the area, and just keeping this going on. All right, we've had some great Sundays, hey? Yeah, it's been awesome, hey? And I mean, even on Christmas morning, we had so many recommitments, and Dylan really preached so well. Gary's message on holiness, the five ladies that shared so well, gosh. And so we've had some really, really good time. And I'm still amazed that, like, God is still building. I'm so glad, like I said a few weeks ago, that he doesn't take leave. Aren't you glad? Imagine if God just said, sorry, guys, I'm on leave. I think the world would collapse. But we all understand it's good to take a break. Okay. Open your Bibles, and more than your Bibles, I want you to take notes. Dylan and I were chatting. When did we talk, Dylan? Friday. Were you? Jeez. I don't have my glasses on. So, yeah, Friday. We were chatting on Friday, and as we were talking about what I'm going to share, and he says to me, John, you know, I've always told people to make notes while whoever's sharing. And I think I've done that. I had, many years ago, I had little A5 books. You know, and I think I've got about 10 or 11 of them through the years. But then with the age of technology, I've now upgraded to an iPad and notes, etc. But I've got one little app on my phone, and it synchronizes with my iPad. It's notes. And I, in there, here's what Dylan and I were sharing. I write down notes, like, I can remember what most people preach. Someone said to me the other day, geez, John, I preached that 12 years ago, and you still remember it. And I take notes of what's preached. And then every now and then I'll put a star, watch this, next to something that I feel God telling me personally. All right? Okay? And hopefully you're doing the same. And I'm going to share this a little bit with you this morning. So New Year's, I'm going to talk a little bit about New Year's. I'm going to, if you want a title, hold. I'm coming to it now. But New Year's is a wonderful time of the year. How many of you are glad like 2025 is over? Okay, I am, for various reasons. But even in December, for us as a family, it's a tough month because we've lost 3 family members. My brother who committed suicide, it's his birthday on the 27th of every year. And so it's a weird season. But as the years go by, you kind of realize that you can't undo what's happened, but you realize there's a new year coming, and thank God for that, all right? Maybe for some of you, you're glad because you've had a tough year. For some, it's been a challenging year, and the hope of better things to come. You kind of watch those last few minutes, and it's like, thank you, Jesus, that year is over, okay? And for some, it's been a challenging year. For some of you, you've had breakthroughs. Some of you want breakthrough. For others, it's been a time of reflection. I think it's great to sit back. Subconsciously, the one thing I do every 1st of January, I kind of just take a moment. Like when the psalm says, Selah. For those of you who haven't read it, it's there. It says Selah, you know, S-E-L-A-H. It's the psalmist, and by the way, there were more than one writer in the Psalms. David was one of many. But the psalmists every now and then say Selah, and it literally means pause and think calmly about this. And I think God is calling us to more Selah moments. But on the 1st of January, if you haven't done it, I know with kids and family, it's like hectic, and then everyone wants to go there and do this, and then everyone's gone to the beach for sunset drinks or coffee, or and it's just da-da-da-da, and then, but take some time and just say, Lord, I'm going to pause and think calmly about last year and the year to come. I think it's important. For others, I know of a few people in this church, it's your first year or New Year's without someone you've lost in the last year. New Year's celebrations are all about embracing change, celebrating the end of another year, entering a new season. The Bible doesn't say much about New Year's celebrations, but here's what it does say in Ecclesiastes. If you want the chapter Ecclesiastes 3, listen to this. For everything, there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Husbands and wives, that's relevant for all of us. I won't go into that joke. See, I'm practicing self-control this morning. A time to love and a time to hate. By the way, God doesn't call us to hate people, but he calls us to hate sin. Lastly, a time for war and a time of peace. And for us as Christians, we celebrate New Year's a little differently. How many of you are saying, yes, John, absolutely, thank God for that. Watch this. We as Christians enter every New Year looking back, seeing his faithfulness. We think of his provision, his healing, his presence in our lives. The fact that we can experience God, the fact that we can experience community, family, church, the list is long. But we also now look forward with faith, eagerly expecting God to do something new. Are you expecting God to do something new? Okay, I hope you are. Here's why. Jesus, throughout the New Testament and in the Gospels specifically, he many times tells people, by your faith, you're healed. And he's many times waiting for you and I to take and have and take a hold of faith before he does something. Hopefully this morning, I want to do something that's going to ignite the faith that's in your heart to see him really work. In Isaiah 43, I love it when the prophet says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Tell the person next to you, 2026 is a new year. All right? Tell them, last year is gone. That's important. I think I once heard a message about a guy talking about seasons in life, and he says, there's a reason why if your car is like your life, why the rear view mirror is there, but it's not a big screen, it's just a little one. And here's why. You can reflect on the past, but we don't stay in the past. We take the good, check out the evil, check out what we've lost, learn the lessons, and if you're wise, you realize that in everything you go through, God's probably working more character in you than anything else. For the businessman who loses their business, that's a character. It's not a nice thing. It happens. The best of people get done in business, and then they lose their business. You got to sit, and then you realize as Christians, it's not all going to go well. But Jesus says, whatever happens, he said, consider it pure joy. All right? Hello? We don't complain. We just keep praising. Right? If you want a good lesson, don't complain. Don't go, oh, Lord, why? No. Just say, Father, even though I will still praise you, even despite this, I will still worship you. I will still guard my heart. And when someone's done you in, watch this. Here's a good lesson. God knows your heart. You might not need to justify yourself to everyone or anyone, but God knows your heart. He is the vindicator. Now, put up that first slide. Can we put this row of lights off, these two? Is it possible? And off. Okay. So there's our celebrations. Okay, first slide after that. So some of you have made some New Year's resolutions. How about this? Take a trip. Yes, please. Find a new job. Some of you, if you're a boss, hopefully your staff members are not saying that. I love that top left one. Drink less. Find love. Interesting one. Get fit. We're all saying amen to that one. Enjoy life. I like that. Join a gym. Yeah. Discovery keeps reminding us all the time. Lose weight. What's that bottom one there? Quit smoking. Save money. So we've got many New Year's resolutions, right? But here's what I believe God wants us to do as Christians. I believe while everyone, the whole world is celebrating New Year's resolutions, here's what I believe God wants us to have is New Year's revelations. Now please, don't now go to your family and say, John said we're not going to have New Year's resolutions, and then you sound all holy and weird. Don't do that. You're going to lose family members, okay? In your heart of hearts, those CLR moments, you go before God and you say, Lord, I need more revelation. Here's why. Are you ready? Small teaching, and then we're going to wrap it up. I didn't tell you this last verse, Rob, but right at the end, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Don't put it up yet, but put it up just now. We're going to wrap it up right at the end. We need some revelations. Now, I bought some of my favorite things to do on this table. Are you ready? The first thing we get in our lives is Logos. This is the Bible. All revelation comes from this, and I'm going to show you now. Now, stay with me. I'm going to teach you three things this morning. I'm going to show you how this is Logos, how we get Rhema or understanding, and then Logos plus Rhema equals revelations. Are we on? No. 1 Corinthians 14, 26, right at the end. That's how we get revelation. But you can't get revelation unless you don't do the first thing, and that's read the Bible. Okay? Now, if you're saying, John, I don't have a Bible, come and talk to us. I'll show you which translations to buy so that you can read it and really get into the Word of God. As Christians, guys, we place a high priority on the Bible. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word of God. And please take notes, all right? If a person next to you has got their phone open, hopefully they're taking notes and not sending WhatsApps. I used to get quite offended when people didn't bring their Bible, like the pages, and they had their electronic devices. But thank God I've seen the light now. All right. On your device, write notes. Take Dylan's instruction. Make notes. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word of God, and that's Logos. When you read that scripture, it speaks of this, the Bible. All right? Now this Bible, your Bible, my Bible, it is the Word of God, but watch this. It's also God's words to us and to you. Okay? 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, about 40 authors. Why? Because some, we're not sure if it was the same author or other authors. Each one come from total different backgrounds. There were even some ladies. Yes, God uses ladies too. And all the ladies said, look, if you haven't listened to those fives a few weeks ago, you want to go, you'll get blown away by how blessed that was. Okay? Each person, each of the authors, inspired by God supernaturally to write on paper or on manuscripts or scrolls, messages, history, legacy inspired by God. Prophecies. By the way, there were so many, over 200 prophecies of the coming Messiah, and most of them have come to pass. The only ones that still need to come pass are regarding the second coming. Okay, I love this. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. Or what the Bible says, God breathed. Okay, now, If you want to understand a little bit more about how the Bible was put together, why there's an Old Testament, New Testament, go to one of our websites, which is 412. If you don't know what that is, that's all our international churches in our apostolic field, not just the Just Gen ones. There's over how many, Baron? 300, 400. I don't know, whatever. Go to resources, type in Bible, and I looked this morning. There's a whole lot of articles, studies, messages about the Bible and how it's put together and why it's put together the way it is and how to understand it. I'm not going to do that this morning, but we need to understand God's word is powerful. It's never changed. It's still changing lives, and it will keep on changing lives. It's so important that Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, and he says this, do your best to present yourself to God as one who is approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly or correctly handling the word of truth. Now, if you're saying, yeah, but John, that was Paul's instruction to Timothy, I'm saying, no, it's actually God's instruction to all of us. So if you're not sure where to start, please don't take any of these home. But here's four resources. I've actually got about six. My one, if I lent you my thick book on David Pawson called Unlocking the Bible, I'd love you to return it, please. I can't remember who I lent that to. The first thing you want to do is get yourself a good study Bible. This is the Spirit-filled Life Bible, New King James. This Bible's 30-something years old. Francois Reed did the cover for me. I have learned so much. You learn, you study why the background behind each book, the meanings, the hidden Greek words. There's so much in there. This is a book that was, this is New King James also, but John Maxwell put this book together. It's called the Leadership Bible. There's all sorts of leadership things and how, just throughout the Bible, he draws things about leadership and how if you're a leader in any way, you can really take some. This is one of my first devotions, my utmost for his highest. Man, this is like, you know, spiritually you get milk and then you get steak. This is steak. All right? It's absolutely incredible. Now, man, I've spoken about this so much. Some of you are getting bored of this now. This is the most life-changing book I've read second to the Bible. It's called Sparkling Gems. The author, Rick Renner, he takes 365 well-known passages, and he goes, and it's like a deep study. It's 3 or 4 pages every day, and he goes right in. He looks at the context, the meaning, the Hebrew, the Greek, and how we apply it to our lives. And he loves the church. He loves Jesus, loves Holy Spirit. Yes. Sparkling Gems. You can apparently get this on Takealot. Pardon? There's an electronic version. Yeah. But if you're not sure, phone me, SMS me. I'll let you know. I'll send you the link. And I'm saying that because many people don't know where to start. David Pawson's book, it's a thick one like this called Unlocking the Bible. At first, I was very offended at that title. And I said, who's David? And then he came here. How many of you remember when he was here? And I was like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. And it really gives you great. Now, if you don't do that, you're not going to get the next thing. Watch this. Remember, I said we need revelation. But if you don't sit and read the Bible and open your heart and allow God to speak to you, you're not going to get the understanding. And the Greek word for that is rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. Okay? Now, this is where, I remember as a new Christian, how many of you also, when you just got saved, you start reading scripture, and then every now and then you literally, like your spirit man goes, oh! It's like, oh, it's alive. And you feel like, and literally, the lights are coming on. Oh, am I the only one? I still get those moments. I've read scriptures hundreds of times, and then one day it's like, dish, and it's like putting your finger in a plug, and you experience some laugh. That's what rhema is, okay? And you can be listening to a message. You can be reading your Bible. You can even be in your car. You can be surfing, driving. You can even have little rhema moments. One of my friends, Rory Dyer, he loves looking at life, and he takes his eyes, and he says, Lord, whatever my eyes look at, give me revelation. So he'll look at a chair, and I just allow God to speak to him. And then God will say, your chair is like your life, but without the four legs, you can't sit properly. I am those four legs, you know? Are you with me? That's a rhema moment. So it's not just in the Bible. Look around you. You might be surfing and God gives you a revelation of the wave and his grace. And as you catch his grace, it's like surfing endlessly. Okay? I've had many revelations while running. I had one on Friday. It's like, and my revelation was, John, you're not as fit as what you used to be. You've run many half marathons, but it's been a while. Okay. Here's why rhema is important. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, when it says word there, that's rhema. That's God saying to you and I, Pete, Sonny, Jack, Jill, you cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But not just word, watch this. It's the understood word that you've percolated on like coffee. You know when coffee percolates? What happens? How many of you have had coffee from that well-known franchise whose name starts with an S and there's four letters in it? And it feels like it's been simmering for 5 days. And when you taste it, it's like poison. Percolated coffee. That's God and his word when he illuminates something in your spirit. Not just any scriptures, but it's certain truths. Are you ready? Okay, now, I'll give you two examples of, in the Bible, where that rhema moment happened. The first one is in Matthew 16. Jesus says to all the disciples, he says, who do you think I am? Peter replies, you are the Christ. Jesus says, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father. The other 11 disciples, they were clueless. Same Jesus, same disciples. Jesus was spent a total of 3.5 years with the disciples. And this was probably, I don't know, a year and a half, two into it. Spending every day with Jesus. Jesus says, who am I? And only one disciple gets it right. Why? Because he had a revelation. He had a rhema moment. He understood you are the Christ. Right there was rhema in action. Are you getting this? Second example is in Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up and explains Pentecost. And he says, and he's preaching and he's saying, this was the promise of the Holy Spirit now poured out to all people, not just the Jews. All right? And he's preaching and he's ultimately saying, the first step, however, is you need to get born again. You need to get saved. And in Acts 2:37, it says this. Watch the rhema moment. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Right there. That's when the Holy Spirit's actively pricking on their hearts. And then Peter said to the rest of the disciples, or the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? That's a rhema moment. Now, we know that we have the Logos, we have the rhema, but watch this. When you read the Logos, the pages of your Bible, or the screens on your electronic device. Oh, and by the way, I use an outstanding program called eSword. Over the period of 20 years, I've downloaded 16 translations, 11 studies, 3 Hebrew and Greek explanations, and then a whole long list of studies, and you've got to pay for them once off, and then you've got it. So my iPad and my MacBook has got that, and it's outstanding because sometimes you can just copy-paste. Hallelujah. Gone are the days we have to retype everything, okay? So when we take Logos and we allow, watch this, we say, Holy Spirit, reveal the scripture to me. Or sometimes God just does it supernaturally. Bang, puts a thought in your mind. That's rhema. But revelation is this. Revelation is the result of rhema. So I've allowed God's word to prick my heart, give me understanding, deeper understanding. But now my life has changed. And I then share it with my community and say, guys, God showed me this in the word. And you can see the change in my life. That's when it's become a revelation. And I believe God wants us to have New Year's revelations, not resolutions. How about your life today? Paul made it so important. He says to the Ephesian church in chapter 1, he says, I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He's praying for revelation. He's praying that the saints have a revelation. This revelation it's mine, your transformed life that's on display to the whole world. It's a changed life. It's evidence of God's grace and his kindness over us. In fact, listen to this. I believe revelation is this, the ultimate extreme makeover. Some of you are saying, John, I'm still waiting for my makeover. I don't want to say I can see it, but yeah. The best makeovers we can have is when we get into God's word and we ask him for revelation that changes our lives. We can read information. You can read your Bible every day, but never change. Why? Because you've never allowed God's word to bring you understanding, rhema, so that you get revelation. Be careful of that. I must be honest. At times, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, close your Bible. Why? Because I'm just going through the works. And then I close my Bible, I repent. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm just going through the motions. And right there, God is gracious and he talked to me, or I put worship music on, etc. Be careful of that. Invite God into your space and get revelation. All right? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Here's why it's important. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? So coming together is not an option. It's like when, not do we? Yes, we do. A lot. But when, okay? Everyone has a hymn. Here we go. A word of instruction, a revelation. That's why. So that when we come together, we can share and encourage one another. A tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So here's what happens. You and I, we get into God's word. We allow Holy Spirit to show us and speak to us for things about you and your life right now, today, that moment. We feel the change and we're so excited about it. We come and share it with our friends. That's why it's important. And here's the spin-off. There are other people waiting to hear your story so that they too can be encouraged. I think we need to elevate revelation very, very high. Close your Bibles. Close your notebook unless you feel God speaking to you. I hope that was helpful. I really prayed. I said, Lord, I could come in and share. Let's take on this year. Take the bull by the horns. But I really prayed and I said, Lord, what do your people need to hear regarding this new year? And maybe every new year. And I think that's what God is saying. God wants to give us new years, revelations, not just resolutions. I don't know about you, but I'm trusting God. I'm responding to my own preach this morning. I'm like, Jesus, I need way more revelations this year. All right. So there's two groups of people here. I believe there's one group that's saying, John, I haven't even read my Bible. I haven't made it a top priority. Maybe you're not even born again or saved or a child of God. That's the first step. I remember trying to read the Bible as an unsaved 14-year-old, and I didn't know what to do. I don't know where to start. It meant nothing. But when I got saved, and I was 18 years old, and the Holy Spirit's in my life, and I remember opening it up, and then God was opening his word to us, and it was amazing. If that's you, let's close our eyes right now. Maybe that's you this morning. You're saying, John, I've never taken that step. I can't say that I'm God's child. Maybe that's time for you this morning to say, okay, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm actually going to ask Jesus into my heart. That's how my life changed. That's most people around you right now, that's how our lives have changed, is when we made a simple prayer and said, Jesus, come into my life, make me your child, and that's how you get saved or born again. If that's you, without any doubt in your heart, we'd love the privilege. I remember being so nervous, but man, before long, I just found my hand in the air, and the whole church embraced us as a family, and we literally walked out of that building knowing we are now children of God. See, God never made it difficult for us. He actually made it easy. All we need to do is accept him. So if that's you, I want you to lift your hand up right now and we're going to pray for you. Okay, there's one hand going up. That's amazing. Is there anyone else? You know, it's so important this. Jesus said the following. He said, if you acknowledge me in front of people, one day in heaven, Jesus says, I will acknowledge you. That's why it's important to do it publicly and to do it boldly and proudly. I'm going to ask one more time. Is there anyone here present that wants to give their life to Jesus? You want to become his child. Maybe you've done that and you've backslidden. Maybe it's time to make right with God and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be white hot for you. Is there anyone else? All right. My friend, would you mind standing right there where you are? Let's stretch out our hands and let's pray for our friend. What is your name? Jaden. Jaden. Everyone? Jaden. You're about to get welcomed into a family, all right? That's what the Bible does, man. He says, I give you a family. That's it. And so let's just close your eyes right there where you stand. Thank you, Lord, for Jaden right now. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Let's pray the following prayer. Jaden, if you could pray this prayer after me, and let's all pray it with you. Just close your eyes and just allow God to enter your life right now in a real way. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to be my Lord, be my Savior, be my God. I repent for living a life without you. Thank you, Jesus, that you forgive me of all my sins. Make me your child. In Jesus' name. Jaden, right there where you stand, just keep your eyes closed. We're just going to pray for you a little bit right now. Father, we pray for our friend who's walked in here. We pray, Jesus, that you would be so real to him in this moment. Each of us have experienced this amazing gift. Each of us can remember the day. Some of us remember the hour and the exact moment and how it happened. We pray the same for our friend today, Lord. I pray that today will be a life-changing day in his life. The 4th of January, the day his life changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jaden, you're not alone, bro. Just how many of you, when you got saved, it was overwhelming? You're not alone, bro. I remember going home and I had so many questions and I was just sort of writing, where did God come from? What is my life? And you're going to have the same, man. But right now, you know God is in your heart, right? So we celebrate with you, bro. It's the beginning of the rest of your life. Amen. Okay, second call. I'm standing to this one and I'm not trying to get you to stand with me. But if you say, John, I need more revelations, not just a New Year's resolution, let's stand. I'm not going to pull teeth here, but man, if we honestly know how God's word has the ability to change us, to change how we think, change how we live. I was even preparing this morning, I was up quite early and I felt like some of you are trusting God for certain things, but what you need a revelation about that thing. Okay? Some of you are trusting God for things, but you need a revelation about that thing. Listen to what I'm saying, okay? You need to make time. Even now, today, throughout the day, don't limit God. He can speak to you in your car, while you're cooking, where you work. Don't limit him. God can come in a moment and give you that revelation, all right? Let's pray. Father, we are so excited about exploring more in your word this year. There are many things we can promise to you today at the beginning of this year. Worshipping more, hearing you more. But it probably all comes down, Lord, to us spending time with you. Alone, with people, little moments, doing our hobbies, but really just opening our hearts and saying, come. I want to ask you just to lift your hand like you're receiving something. Holy Spirit, would you come now? Give us a hunger for revelation like never before. Not just the word, but revelation, Lord. Truly, that's when our lives change, is when we get revelation. Just right there where you under your breath, just ask God for those moments. Say, Lord, I want to understand your word more. I want more rhema moments, revelation moments, CLR moments. And we're not going to limit God. God can do it in the weirdest and wonderful places and times, all right? Let him do it. I want you to ask Holy Spirit right there where you stand. Why? Because the Bible says Holy Spirit is the one who helps us. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you to really understand the word of God more and more this year. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just stay in this place? I felt like I want to go into a little bit of time of worship now.